We're talking about Thanksgiving, and Byron and I were discussing doing these sermons, and I told him, you know, I really want to do Philippians 4. I really love the book of Philippians, some of the stuff that Paul says, and I was like, I really want to do Philippians 4. And as I was looking up the scripture, I was reminded of a song that I used to sing when I was a kid. When I was a kid in church, we sang these songs that I didn't realize till I grew older were actually scripture put to music. And so now as I'm getting older, I start to read through scripture and I'm like, wait a minute, that's that song I used to sing as a kid. And because I'm in charge today, you all have to sing the song with me. All right, now it's really easy. The words are, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, okay? So we're gonna sing this song, and I'm not Troy, so bear with me as I try and lead you through the song. So rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Now, if you grew up in my youth group, we turned this into a challenge. Once you've sung it through the first time, you got to go through it the second time, but you have to sing it faster. So, again, since I'm in charge, we're going to do this again, but we're going to do this faster, all right? So, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Now, if we do it any faster, it's just going to sound like a bunch of mumbles. But we used to sing this song when I was a kid all the time. It always just made us happy. It gave us the chance to start rejoicing in the Lord. And then as I was preparing for this sermon, I read Philippians 4:4-9. And this is what Paul says. He says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. See, we are supposed to have an attitude of praise, that everything we do is supposed to come with an attitude of praise, that we are always supposed to have this willingness to come before our God and to praise him and to be thankful to him for what's gone on. And you know, it's funny, I put out a Facebook posts out, and then I've seen a bunch of my other minister friends have done the same thing, like, hey, what are you thankful for? You know, and I asked, how do you best praise God? Because we all praise God in different ways, and I got a lot of really interesting answers. There's some people that like to sit out and stare at the stars, and that's when they do all their praying, as they're staring up into the stars. A friend of mine likes to sit out on her deck and look out at creation and just praise God. There were a lot of people that said they liked to sing, but this is one answer that was given to me that I really, really liked, and it was from Emily. She says, making music, even if it's not great or polished, when I'm playing, it's one of the few times when I can let go of everything around me and just be in the moment, and I'm always reminded of how I should never underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit and how even my feeblest efforts are often used by the Spirit to bless other people. You know, we get this thought when we praise, we're like, well, it's gotta be perfect. You know, if I can't sing the way that the people on stage sing, then I'm just gonna sit in my seat and I'm just gonna be like, God doesn't care. God does not care what your abilities are. God cares what your attitude is. He cares that when you come before him to praise, that you come before him with everything that you have to praise him. It's kind of like when you have like a toddler who comes in, they put a piece of paper down on the desk and they get their finger paints out and they just make this big swirly mess. And they bring it, and they always bring it to mom, and they bring this creation to mom. And what is mom's response? Every single time that the kid brings just this blob of paint to mom. Oh, that is the most beautiful thing I have ever seen. Let me clear a spot right here on the refrigerator. Let me put this. We need to go to the Louvre and take the Mona Lisa down. This needs to hang in its place. I even know of mothers that save those artworks so that later in life they can look back at them again, because to them, they are truly a masterpiece because they came from the heart. God is the same way. He takes our finger paint of praise. He takes our wrong notes and our missed words and all that. He takes that all and he puts it on his refrigerator and said, this is what my kids did for me today. They praised me with everything that they have, because we have to have an attitude of praise. Now, one of the reasons we need an attitude of praise is because others are watching. Others see what we do. You know, people see that, they know that we that call in Jesus' name, that we profess Christ. They're watching the way that we act. They're watching what we do in certain situations. And this happens to Peter. This is Paul. I get those confused. Those P's just messed me up. This happens in Acts 16. Paul and Silas were in a town, and they'd cast out a demon because this girl was just walking around bothering them, and Paul just got finally fed up and just like, go away, and cast the demon out. And the people didn't like this, so a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure that they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. Now imagine that you're Paul and Silas. You're walking through the town, you've been preaching God's name, and this demon-possessed girl is bothering you, so you cast out the demon. You're expecting people to be like, oh wow, you're awesome, you cast out a demon, thank you so much. The response is they were beaten and thrown in jail. Now, I don't know if you're me, but if I'm in that situation, I'm like, God, what the heck are you doing? Like, I'm out here doing your work, and my reward is that I'm beaten, and I'm now thrown in jail, and I'm all chained up and everything, and I'm in the inner dungeon. But this is Paul and Silas's response. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. They knew. These guys have been thrown into prison because they've been casting out demons and they've been doing stuff in the name of the living God. The prisoners knew this. And so Paul and Silas's response is to sit and pray and to sing praises to God. And it had an effect on these prisoners, because later when there's an earthquake and the chains fall off and the doors all open up, what do all of the prisoners do? I mean, I've seen it in movies hundreds of times. As soon as all the doors open, the prisoners don't just stand there and say, well, gee, I wonder what to do now. They all run and they take off and they try to escape. But what happens here is, because Paul and Silas have set an example and these prisoners have seen this, when the doors open and the chains fall off and the prison guard comes in and he knows that the prisoners have all escaped and he's about ready to commit suicide because he knows the punishment's going to be death, Paul and Silas said, hey, stop. We're all still here. Paul and Silas's attitude of praise affected the men around them. And they stayed because of what Paul and Silas had done. We have to have an attitude of praise at all times because other people see what we do. And they know, hey, they profess the name of Christ, but they act like a real jerk when they're ticked off. We also need to praise God because he's already won. We need to praise God because when troubles come our way, we need to remember God's already got this taken care of. He has already won the battle. We've got to remember that he is in control at all times. This is what Jesus says to his disciples in John 16. He's talking to his disciples and he's like, guys, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm going to go off. You're going to be on your own. I'm going to die. Everything's going to be okay. And he says this in verse 33, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. We're going to face some stuff in life. Paul faced some stuff. He's writing this while in prison. And he says, listen, guys, Jesus says, hey, I've overcome the world. And Paul says, man, we can do this. We can praise him at all times because he has overcome the world. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing a couple songs to praise God because that's what we're here for, right? Let's pray. Now, dear God, we just thank you so much for who you are, for what you do. You are, man, you are an awesome God. We just, we want to come before you right now and praise you, to praise the fact that you have already won, to praise the fact that you are a God that loves us and cares for us. We just want to come to you right now and kneel at your feet and praise you for all that you've done. Be with us right now that we can let go of that feeling that we've got to be perfect and that we can come to you and just truly praise you. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes it's hard to praise at all times. Sometimes it's difficult for me. Sometimes there's stuff that happens in life and I'm like, God, I'm really not in the mood to praise you right now. And I think Paul addresses that here. He gives us two suggestions on what we can do in those times. Because Paul is writing this while he's in prison. Paul is writing this not knowing what's going to be happening to him. And Paul is telling us to rejoice in the Lord always. He knows what it's like to rejoice in the Lord when you just don't feel like it. And this is the first thing that he says. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. He tells us here that we need to pray, that we need to take our cares and concerns. We need to bring them directly before God. We need to come and say, God, this is what's going on in my life. This is what I need to talk to you about. This is what I need to bring to you. We do this because prayer is about us giving God our needs and thanking him for his answers. You know, a lot of times we spend a lot of time, you know, I know me. So when I say we, I mean me. I spend a lot of time saying, God, I need this. God, I need this. God, I want this. God, I need this. God, I want this. Man, that was an awesome prayer time, God. I told you everything I want. And God's like, when are you going to give me a chance to say anything? And we spend all our time like, God, I need, I need, I need, I need, I need. And God's like, but I gave, I gave, I gave, I gave, I gave, I gave. We need to spend some time thanking him for what's going on. This is what's said about God in Deuteronomy chapter 4. For what nation has a God as near to them as the Lord our God is near to us whenever we call on him? We have a God that loves us so much that it's not just a, oh, I love you, I created you, now go away. It's, I love you, I created you, I want to continue to spend time with you. Please come talk to me. You know, I've studied ancient Greek and Roman religion. And, you know, when their gods, they really didn't interact with humans all that much. The only time that the gods came down off Mount Olympus to talk to people was when the gods wanted something from the people. If the people came to the gods and say, we really need this, the gods' response was, okay, then go do it. Why are you bothering me with this? We have a God that loves us so much that says, "I, please come talk to me. Tell me what you need. Let's have a conversation. We have a God that is near to us and wants to hear from us. See, God hears our prayers even when we don't know what to pray for. You ever been in that position where your heart is just heavy and you want to pray? And you don't know what to say. You're just like, God, that's all I got right now, God. This is what Paul says in Romans 8. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. We get to this point where we're like, God, I'm so bound up, I don't know what to pray for. But this is the cool thing, in that the Holy Spirit that lives in us, the Holy Spirit knows our hearts and knows what's on our mind, knows how to communicate what's in our heart to God. And so we're like, God, I don't know what to say. And the Holy Spirit says, I got this, I know what to say. Hey, God, this is what he really means by this. And God is like, okay, cool, thanks. It's not like God didn't understand in the first place, because he is the Holy Spirit. But that God loves us so much that he cares to understand what's going on in our hearts when we can't even verbalize it. He says, don't worry, I know, I got this. How much God loves us that he wants to communicate with us even when we can't communicate with him. It blows my mind. We also need to understand that prayer is extremely powerful. This is what James says in James chapter 5. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call on the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. I don't know if you guys are like me, but sometimes I feel like when I pray, I'm just praying to the ceiling. Like, God, we've got to remember that even in those times where we feel that way, God is still listening, and our prayers are powerful. That when we are honestly, earnestly going to God and saying, God, this is what's on my heart, this is what is going on in my life, and we bring those things to God, God is truly listening, and our prayers are powerful. We have proof from that in what Paul says. He says, pray about everything, tell God what you need, and thank him for all that he has done. When we take our prayers to God and we say, God, I need this, I need this, I need this, we can't stop with, I need this, I need this, I need this. That's important. We need to go to God and bring our needs to him. But we have to go the step further and say, God, thank you for all the things that you have done. When we're thanking God for the things he's done, actually what we're doing is reminding ourselves of the things that God has done. So I had this happen in the past 2 weeks. The brakes went out in the van. I had to spend $600 to get the brakes fixed on the van. Had the money, thank the Lord, got the brakes fixed on the van. It was amazing. We got in and all of a sudden it didn't make the noises that it was making. It fixed noises I didn't think were associated with the brakes. And I was like, this is awesome. While the van was in the shop, the furnace went out. I'm like, oh God, no, please no. Thankfully, a friend of ours who is really good at this stuff, Dan came over and he fixed our furnace. And I was like, all right, Dan, what do I owe you for this? Like, how bad is this gonna be? Oh, you don't have to pay me for this. Yes, I do have to pay you for this. How much do I owe you for this? No, you're not gonna pay me for this. So for 2.5 hours and $25 in parts, it cost me having my wife make Dan an apple pie. I'm like, okay. Jim's like, I'm coming over to their house to do work now. I've got these awesome things that have happened in my life, and I'm like, oh God, you're just awesome. This is great. And then Elizabeth gets in the van, and she goes to drive someplace, and she calls me and says, the check engine light's on in the van. And I'm like, God, why would you do this to me? Seriously, and I looked up the problem, and it's not one of those things I can ignore. I'm gonna have to get it fixed. And I'm like, God, I don't have the money. I can't do this. Why are you doing this to me, God? And I come home, and I'm just mad. And Jennifer was just like, you know, God's in control and he's got this. And I'm like, yeah, I know I'm preaching on that on Sunday, but I'm still mad right now. I needed to stop and remember, hey, Matt, I fixed your brakes for you. I gave you the money to get that taken care of. I gave you friends that know how to come over and help you fix your furnace, and it cost you an apple pie. Like, I was with you here, I was with you here. What makes you think I'm not gonna be with you here? When we come to God and thank him for what he's done, we're praising him, but we're also reminding us that, hey, if God does these awesome things for us, and we've gotta be there with him. So yes, I could take my van to the shop this week, but I know that God is going to be with me. I know that God is gonna take care of this because he has taken care of everything up until this point. What makes me think he's gonna stop now? Paul tells us, okay, you've prayed, you've taken it to God, and you've thanked him for what you need to do. Now what you gotta do is you gotta stop thinking about it. Now, I don't know if you were like me or my wife, but stopping thinking about things is almost impossible. We've got to, Paul says, we have to stop thinking about this and we need to think about good things. We need to change what we're focusing on. Because what happens is when we come to God and we say, God, I need this. This is what I need. This isn't a want, God, this is a need. And then we leave and we're like, okay, I've given that care to God. This is great. And then we start to worry and fret. What we're actually doing when we do that is we're going back to God and saying, God, I know I gave this to you, but I'm taking it back. I'm taking this care and concern back, and I'm going to worry about it. And God's like, no, that's my job. So what we have to do is we have to change what we're thinking about, and we have to start thinking about good things. This is what David says in Psalm 103. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done for me. His forgiveness, he forgives all of my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. David is telling himself, he's saying, let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. He's telling himself, man, I've got to praise God with everything that I have. I've got to praise God. And then he starts listing the things. And he starts talking about them. And he's thinking about the good things that are going on in his life. Because when he's thinking about those good things, he's not thinking about the things that are messed up, the things that are causing him problems. Now, we're not doing this because we're trying to ignore the problem. We're not trying to ignore the problems, we're focusing on his gifts. We're not just doing this to ignore. That's one of the side effects, that's one of the benefits, is that while we're thinking about his gifts, we're not thinking about the problem. But we've gotta be thinking about his gifts. So David goes here and he's talking about all of these gifts and they're just awesome and all the things that have gone on, and he fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. When we're focusing on the gifts that God has given, we don't care about the troubles and concerns that are in our lives. And if somebody knew something about troubles and concerns, it was David. David had his share of stuff that went on in his life. And he sat down, and when he writes the psalm, he's commanding himself to love the Lord. And as we get a chance to come and think about the gifts that God has given, the gifts that God has given to us, the things that we get to praise him for, there's one gift that comes to me that's above all of the other gifts that God gives. The best gift he's given us is forgiveness. You see, We are dirty, nasty, rotten, like we're the Grinch all the time. And God is like, you know, I love you so much. I'm gonna come and I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to give you this forgiveness, and you don't deserve it. So David has said all these things in Psalm 103 that are great. And then he goes on to continue with, it's not one of my favorite stories, but it's one of my favorite scriptures. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Notice that David doesn't say he's removed our sins as far as the north is from the south. Because there is an actual North Pole and a South Pole. You could actually walk from the North Pole to the South Pole, you know, maybe fly, unless you're walking on the water. That would be 12,440 miles. That's a set distance between the North Pole and the South Pole. So if God were to take our sins and remove them as far as the North Pole from the South Pole, that's a set distance. We know what it is. But he doesn't say that. David says he's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Do you know that if you took off right now and started flying east, you would never start flying west again? You would fly east forever. If you were to take off now and start flying west, you would fly west forever. You would never turn back east. The distance between east and west is infinite. It cannot be measured. And what David says is here is God loves us so much that he's taken our sins an infinite distance away from us. So what's going on in our lives right now that's causing us stress? I've got to take my van to the shop. Jesus loves me so much that I don't have to deal with my sins. He has removed them as far as the east is from the west. I don't care about my van. I get to focus on the forgiveness that we get from God. And right now we're going to take the time to celebrate that. If you're here with us, if you didn't grab a communion, we've got some more back there. We get the chance to celebrate communion right now. We get the chance to celebrate that God loves us so much that he took our sins as far as the east is from the west. We're going to pray. The band is going to come up here and we're going to sing another song. And I just want you to take the time to thank God. Man, thank you, God, for what you have done. You are just, you're awesome. My sins are as far as the east is the west. Let's pray. Dear God, we just want to thank you because we don't deserve this. We don't deserve what you have done. We don't deserve our sins being separated from us. We deserve the punishment. But you love us so much that you have given your son for us, that we get to come and worship you for eternity. That gift is far beyond anything I deserve. God, I just pray that you be with us as we end our time praising you, that we can take this with us and that we can remember to worship you and to praise you at all times, especially right now as we take this communion. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.